Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. And I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And I am more proud and privileged and honored to present to you our host, Brother Kareem Muhammad from St. Louis, Missouri, also Vice President of Nation Building Movement. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen of Heathen. How are you this evening?
I am blessed by Allah's grace and permission and excited about this intriguing topic that you have going on tonight.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, well,
I have a message from Brother Abdul. He's ready.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. And if our listening audience will just give us one moment, We're going to bring in our panelists. And our subject tonight is the same mind. And it's taken from the Bible passage. Let the same mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you. That is the premise. And what we're going to be looking into is rising up into the thinking of God. That's what we're looking at. All right. So, I am bringing in. Cool. Just a moment here.
Assalamu alaikum, Abdullah Muhammad speaking.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Yes, sir. This is Brother Kareem Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad to have you on the program tonight. Queen Aziz is on the line with us.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Abdul.
Thanks a lot, ma'am. How's family doing today?
Blessed by Allah's grace and permission, sir.
That's right. Absolutely. And so our topic tonight is entitled The Same Mind. And as I was explaining, it's taken from the Bible passage that talks about let the same mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you. And so anyone that knows me and knows the program knows that I don't waste any time. And so to lay some foundation, we want to start coming from the book of Numbers in the Bible. And it's chapter 16, verse 28, where it states, "And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind." Second, we want to look in Romans 12:2, where it states, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, and acceptable and perfect will of God." And third, going to the book of Philippians, and that's chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, where it reads, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." And finally, and of course, not least, we're going to the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation, Surah or chapter 21, ayat or verse 18, where it states, "Nay, we hurl the truth against falsehood, so it knocks out its brains, and lo, it vanishes, and woe to you for what you describe."
Yes, sir. Here, go ahead. Excuse me, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. So what we're going to do, and I'm going to just start with you, Brother Abdul. And the first question that I have is from, you know, in your interaction with people, how do you describe, or how would you describe, the mental state of most people?
That's a very good question. But the mental state of most people is one of our major, major, major concerns. Because before you can first teach anyone anything, you must first understand what the mental state is so you can see where he's coming from, so you can then give him some kind of either enlightenment or disregard. So once you do that, and our mental state is the state that the Caucasian placed us in when we came here approximately 450 years ago. We were never meant to be his equal. We was always meant to be his subservient servant. The gentleman that first discovered or put together the NAACP were the Jews. And the one thing that the Jews promised that they would not do with the NAACP was they would not get involved in economic affairs, which meant that by not getting in touch with economic affairs, we will always be a permanent consumer. I say that to be because if we're a permanent consumer, then we're not going to do nothing for self. If you're not going to do nothing for self, you're never going to get to understand self. If you're not going to get to understand self, you're not going to get to understand others. So our mental state is in a shamble at this moment because we have no knowledge of who we are. We have no knowledge of who God is. We have new knowledge who our enemy and the devil is. So our mental state at this time is in a grave catastrophe.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Same question to you. From your interaction with our people, particularly with our youth, because I mean, you do a lot of work with our youth. How would you describe the mental state of most people?
Wow. For the lack of a better expression, mm-hmm. I would say confused. Bamboozled, led amok, run amok, and led astray. I think our people have conformed to an environment that was created for them, created by them perpetually, but it was instigated or initiated by the slave master. And we have brought the Willie Lynch letter into fruition long after slavery, so-called slavery, has ended. And the reason why we have been able to do that is because we have yet to overcome our fear of white people. Excuse me. It is easier to conform to a 400-year-old ritual than to build a new nation. And until this nation tortures us enough, abuses us enough, give us enough injustice, rob from us, kill us enough, until we get enough, we are never going to rise or elevate our thinking into the mind of Allah and do something for ourselves. So the state of Black America today is totally disassociated from the thinking of Allah. And you can bear witness to that by the actions that we inflict upon ourselves, by the dietary laws that we break, the poisons that we put into our body, our sexual behavior, how we interact with one another. So that is the evidence that we are in a deplorable state of mind and we are totally disassociated and living contrary to Allah. That's my response. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, thank you very much. And Brother Abdul.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And being as how, I mean, you know, this is your first time on my program, if you will. You know, I'll say it like that. I'm simply the host. It really all, everything belongs to Allah. However, since this is your first time with us here, if you could, you know, tell us something about yourself before we move forward.
Okay. Well, that's a good one. I'll go back. I start back like 30 years. About 30 years ago, my name was Robert Daniels. Nobody here, I put on the radio. That's the first time I ever let anybody, I don't believe nobody in the nation really know my slave name because everybody know me by my name I was. I came in Los Angeles, California. I became a citizen of the Nation of Islam. I specialize citizen because we're not members in the Nation of Islam. That's like being a club or a fraternity or something. And you can quit a club, you can quit a fraternity, but you can't quit being a citizen. I became a citizen in the Nation of Islam approximately 30 years ago in Los Angeles, California, mile number 27. I was then given the name Robert 5X. I was then Robert 5X in Nation of Islam until 1991 when I was honored to get the name Muhammad. and maybe 1990. I got the name Muhammad. I was then Robert Muhammad. I was still in Los Angeles at that time. I was coming under the teaching. The minister at that time was Brother Talib Muhammad, and captain at that time was Brother Malik Muhammad. So those were my first teachers of Islam when I first came into the Nation of Islam. So if you know those two brothers' background, you have a little bit of idea of mine. In 1993, I was honored. Well, I got to go back one. In 1988, I went to my first Savior's Day, and that was my first Savior's Day ever. And I was a soldier in the street. I sold my papers and my pies. And I, being pie specialist, that's what I do for a living. I bake pies. I've been baking pies for 25 years. I've been selling pies for 30. So as I was doing this, Brother Abdul Wali Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, for he's no longer physically among us. He took me under his wing as one of his students. And if anybody know anything about the West Coast and Brother Abdul Wali Muhammad, in my perspective of how I see him, he might have made more captains in the Nation of Islam than any other captain that I know. He had told me that the to be able to judge a good captain is to make more captains. A good captain reproduces himself. And I was going through Brother Wali. Wali was a stringent man. He didn't take no nonsense, so he made no nonsense people out of us. I then, in 1993, was asked to become the first officer in Indianapolis, Indiana, Mosque number 74. Under that period of my life, I then became the captain of Indianapolis, and I was a captain for approximately 3 years, and I had some pretty good students. The captain that's there now, Brother Terry Muhammad, he was one of my lieutenants. Brother Nuri Muhammad, who's, you know, everybody know Brother Nuri. Nuri Muhammad was one of the soldiers that I was honored to be able to help come through this little task of becoming a member, a citizen of the nation. And Indianapolis is a famous place of mine. I liked Indianapolis. I then went to Chicago after that, and I worked at the Salam restaurant. I ran the bakery at the Salam restaurant for 3 years. I then started baking the pies at the University of Islam. I did that for about 2 or 3 years. I baked the pie at the university. I then started working on the staff of the Supreme Investigator as one of his assistants. I assisted Brother Ali until I'd say about 2006. I then went to Phoenix, Arizona. In that tender, I had a tendency to be the first officer in Phoenix, Arizona, so I have a pretty good knowledge of the Nation of Islam. I happen to love this because the Honorable Allah Muhammad assisted me when I was a young man to clean my life up in 1974. And I could be going on with this until your show was over with, sir, so I'd like to table that. And that's a little bit of my brief history.
All praise to Allah. And I mean, that's wonderful. We need that. We need that because, again, it falls right in line with our subject, which is the same man. All praise to Allah. And on that note, I'm going to move to the second question. Well, before I do that, I want to remind everyone in our audience and our listening audience that's listening via telephone or who's listening to us online, who may be in the chat room, that if you have a question or a comment, you know, something you'd like to add to this, please hit 1 on the dial pad on your phone, or if you're in the chat room, type in your question, and we will certainly get that question presented and answered for you. All right, so moving to the second question. Our second question is this, is the current condition that we find ourselves in, and I'm talking about black people specifically now, the current condition that we find ourselves in, what does our thinking have to do with our current condition? I mean, is it relevant? You know, is that just I'm, for lack of better terminology, I don't want to use any improper language, but is that just hoo-ha? Okay, you know, well, that the thinking is the main source of what your life is today. So, I mean, I'm asking you, brother, I mean, what does our thinking have to do with our current condition?
Can you hear me now, sir?
Yes, sir. Ready.
First of all, our condition is caused right now by our current way of thinking. A lot of our people are in a spirit that it's the white man that's causing us in the situation that it is, but really it's not the white man at all. It's really our own way of thinking that got us in the condition that we're in right at this time. As a whole, if you ask an average black person, when do you think we'll get out of this, their response would be, we ain't never going to get this together. And Abdullah Muhammad said, as a man thinketh, so is he. So if our people believe or they think that they're not going to get it together or we're not going to come together as a whole, then we've already reached that state of not getting together, and that's where we are at this period. I believe that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will lay all that straight on October 19th and 20th, because he's going to show us the importance of changing our way of thinking to have us believe that not only will we become one, but that we will obtain that unity factor that we need to put ourselves in the next level. I think that our train of thought is through the educational system that we have derived our way of thinking from. Like I said previously, if a man's not going to treat you right, he's not going to teach you right. So you can only respond on what you know. So if our school systems are teaching us nothing, then we know nothing, and our response is nothing. So we must have to change our train of thought and get in line with the only true reality that there is. And that's the reality that Allah's God, who came in the person of Master Muhammad. The reality that the Jesus that we've been searching for thousands of years is now present on the earth in the body of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it's Jesus that is in our midst at this period in time that's guiding us to the correct way of thinking is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir. All praise be to Allah. Yes, thank you.
Hello.
All right. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Are you talking to me, sir?
Yes, sir. I didn't know whether you were finished or not.
Yes, I was finished, sir. Because once I believe that our train of thought can turn to the Jesus in our midst and get on his train of thought. Because his train of thought, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is the same train of thought as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who is the exalted Christ, whose thought is the same as Master Father Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever, carrying the person Allah did. And if we get on those three men's trains of thought, then we give up our own. I read a funny passage today before you called me. It said that when you give up your ego, you then start to live. And I was pondering that thought in my mind, thinking, well, I don't understand that. Then I started thinking more of it, that if I give up that me, and I give that idea up, and I think now more in the frame of mind of a whole people, and I submit myself to assist these whole people in coming to one, I then start to live again. Until that point when I'm just on me, I'm really in a dead state of mind.
Yes, sir.
I believe that was a good question. Yes, some very good question. I'm hoping that this is reaching a huge body of people that have input to assist us in taking this even to another level.
Yes, sir. Well, we always, and that's one of my main things is the balance. We have to have a system. Now, we do have someone with a hand up, so I'm going to take a question before I do go to Queen Aziza on that question. Have your code 267. Your mic is live. Have your code 267?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. You know, it's my first time in actually getting through to this program. I basically came across you through Facebook, you know. A few of the sisters in the nation have been talking about, you know, your program. So this is the first time I'm tuning in. But, you know, I first and foremost want to, you know, just, you know, give you salams and say that I appreciate the efforts that you're making to unify our people. All praise due to Allah.
Yes, sir.
And in my experience as a Muslim, here in the wilderness in North America, I've discovered, I've found personally that, you know, we're growing and developing into the mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, developed for us or started us, you know, on this path a while back. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad sacrificed and suffered and wrote and revealed, you know, a number of instructions through the books that he left us. But in leaving with us, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as the brother before me said, you know, we have a unified track of thinking, and it's our basic resurrection, you know, to come from the dead state that we were placed in by, you know, the one who opposes us, and that's the devil. So the state of mind that we're in today, of course, I believe from, you know, my experience, is the state of mind, is a progressive state of mind. We're in a state where we're getting rid of the bad and developing the new mind that's going to take us into the hereafter. So, you know, may Allah make it easy on us, and thank you for letting me share that.
You said who are you, brother?
My name is Hassan McKinney, and I live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, my dear brother.
Pennsylvania.
All praises due to Allah. Well, I'm glad you could join us, brother, and thank you very, very much for your comments and what you shared with us, because that's the idea. As we know in the Quran, it often says we in referring to Allah, and that's what we have to have. So I hope this may be your first time. I hope it's not your last.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. Wa-alaykum as-salam.
Yes, sir.
Hey,
point
to
Caesar.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I'm coming back around to your got to. As our brother, I was saying, you know, I mean, we got to have that balance now. So.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Okay. Can you repeat the question?
Oh yes, ma'am. Absolutely. The question is, what does our thinking? And you partially answered this in your response to the first question, but I want you to expand on it. What does our thinking have to do with our current condition?
Everything.
I love that.
The reason why I say that is because, as the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so the evidence of how we think is how we live. The evidence of how we think is our current condition. The evidence of how we think is how we treat one another. And so we have a very sick thinking. Now, as the brother just shared with us, he says that he sees us being progressive. And I just want to say, not to disagree with him, because if he sees that progress, all praise is due to Allah. But of 47 years being in the Nation of Islam, I can tell you that even with us, who have been blessed with these teachings for as long as we've had them, we as Muslims have to follow the perfect example that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan has provided to us and expand our thinking process. So when we say that we see progress, we have to see progress amongst our people, meaning all of our people, inside and outside the walls of the mosque, because, of course, the mosque is not the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam is the entire world of the original people. So when we look across the globe of this nation, we are in a very sad state. But why are we in that state, and why have we long been in that state? And it's because our minds have been housed or imprisoned by a systematic way of living that has never been conducive for us, but we, as always, overcome, adapt, adjust, cope with, accept any form of life that is presented to us, because by nature we are being blessed and Allah is merciful to us, but also we are strong people, we are survivors. But it's one thing to and just suck air, but to be successful in life, to be everything that Allah intended for you to be in life, is a totally different task. And so unless we elevate our thinking to create an atmosphere that we truly, truly desire to live in, not one that we settle for, not one that somebody passed on to us, not one that they still trying to beat us and cheat us out of, but one nation that we create under God. When we get into that mindset, then we'll really see progress. So I'm going to put a pin in it right there, brother. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you very, very much. Yes.
Can I add just a little bit to what sister just said?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, sir.
Please. Our state of mind. What is a people without land? You can't name a people that doesn't have land that they control. So, in our frame of mind, we're not even thinking about or even contemplating on obtaining our own land. We've been so twisted mind-wise into the thinking of the beast that bred us and raised us and schooled us and nurtures us to have us honestly believe that we Americans. It's almost comical if you sit back and look at it. It's almost saying that like a lion would be walking through the jungle and walk up to an antelope and they start hanging out. The lion and the antelope, and the lion wants to eat the antelope, but they cool. He don't know no better. The antelope think the lion is his friend. And our frame of mind, and that we're in the state that we're in today, if we don't think of ourselves as being a separate individual people from the man that brought us here, we will never come out of the situation that we're in, because our train of thought to be here. As the Honorable Muhammad, in the early days of the Nation of Islam, through Master Muhammad, knew that our train of thought needed to be altered, so he started his own University of Islam. We started our own schools. Even after the nation fell, we knew that this was necessary because may Allah be pleased with him, continued with his own school system. He never came to the school system of the United States government. He continued with his own school system that he developed with the knowledge and wisdom that he obtained through the teaching of his father and his own endeavor of going to Mecca and learning Islam on his own. You see, so what I'm saying is our train of thought has a lot to do with our activities, as what Sister said. We're not thinking about land because we're not thinking about land. We're not going to buy any land because we don't think about it. So that's where I agree with Sister and Brother, because as a brother being from Philadelphia, I enjoy the brother from Philadelphia, because one, I have a house in Philadelphia, and I go to Philadelphia myself. And I thank you very much for giving me opportunities to address a little more on that question.
Have a good time. Have a great day. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. All right, I'm going to open up a mic here. Area code 901, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Is that my dear sister Diatoma?
It is.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to be good, but I'm not going to lie and tell you I'm not frustrated and angry. Today has been a very trying, you know what, these last couple of years have been a trying couple of years for me. So I'm going to be good, and I'm not going to beat up the nation too bad, and I'm not going to beat up black people too bad, But I am going to go there. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
If it was not for my 14-year-old son, who I am raising and grooming into this nation, today was my breaking point. Let me say this. We as a people, as black people in general, and not just in a nation, we Negroes, they got a little bit more knowledge than the other Negroes, and so then we put ourselves on a higher standard than the other Negroes that don't know. But reality of it is, we still need to grow. That's why I'm saying Negroes. Hold on, baby. I'm just finna get this out. And then I want my son to say a few things because I need this wisdom to be heard from his mouth as well, too. But then I'm going to say this first. But reality of it is that the reason why we ain't going nowhere, the reason why we ain't prospering, the reason why we ain't above where we supposed to be and why it ain't seen within us that God come around us and everybody else look at us and joke, and we are a joke, is because we cannot unify. A man that can't feed himself is a man that is still a baby in the womb of his mother's belly. He still is sitting up there on the prenatal core of the mother's womb and still have to be fed from his mother's belly. You know how the mother gets the nutrient, then the baby come and suck all the nutrients out from the mother? Well, regardless, one day that mother got to get birth. And so at a point in a time in their life, the mother body has to get rid of that baby. It has to push it out. Whether it's going to come out stillborn or it's going to come out with some type of substance, the mother got to get rid of that baby because it cannot forever hold on to that core and keep feeding about the mother's nutrients and vitamins. Because after a while, any pregnant woman will tell you, she gets tired, and she's ready to give birth to that child. Now, we as black people, like I said, in the nation too, we just a little bit more educated Negroes, but we still Negroes. How can God come to you, give you universal knowledge, and you still begging for a handout? You still send up somebody's job talking about, well, I need a paycheck. You don't understand, and the nation needs, and we ain't got because the mindset's like the way you got, the way you think, the way you are. We don't even want to take care of our women. What kind of man would sit there and see their woman without they black woman, they black sister, they black mother, they black whatever she is, and then state the fact that she's sitting out here without my sisters every day? I look at my sisters and I say, oh my God, what can I do to help lift them and uplift them and give them and bring them here? We want to look down on each other, that ghetto sister, but you ain't never sit up there and try to talk to that sister and help that sister. Don't even know what that sister going through. Thousands of sisters sitting up here at this aid office because baby daddies won't sit up there and help these mothers and these parents. Thousands of babies without their fathers, without their mothers, out here on these dope, out here on this crack, but we got supreme wisdom. We got supreme wisdom. But yet, we can't seem to get it together. I posted the other day, I went over to a residual, and I love Honorable Elijah Muhammad as he brought the teachings, as came from Master Fahd Muhammad, as my teacher and my reminder and my warning in this day of time through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I don't never doubt that what they bring is the truth, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be who I am today. And I thank Allah Almighty for choosing me and raising me as his servant, and I doubt that. But I can't do it no more with us. We are so lost that it's just so ridiculous. I cry daily because I'm out here and I see the pain of our people. What kind of people are we to sit up here? We sitting in lines upon lines upon lines begging for food that don't even give us substance, begging for jobs, begging for housing, begging just for them to tell us we ain't got it no more. But if the reality is going to hit, it's going to hit. Government is closing. What are we going to do tomorrow when the food stamps ain't coming, when the aid ain't coming, when the checks ain't coming? Thousands of people that ain't going to be able to have a check, they
ain't going to be able to pay their bills. They ain't going to be able to feed their family. Reality is, it's coming. Everybody want to say, well, Minnesota and I see change. Where? Tomorrow. If government shut down like it is the nation ready to feed millions of black people? Matter of fact, millions of people, period. Are we ready? Or are we still talking about change and still needing to have change? I'm tired. I went to a residual. The brother, he was on overseas Muslims. They had hundreds of acres of land, and on that land was a mosque. On that land was a man-made lake with fresh fish. They got the plans in the making to build the schools, the homes, the apartments. They got places for the children, and it's all secluded and blocked off, and it's secure. So when they ready to shut it down, one way in, one way out, but they got there secure. We everywhere. Anybody can come in and do whatever they want to the black woman, but we are supposed to be the birth of the world? When are we going to get on our crowns and our thrones and take over and do what we're supposed to do with the teaching that God came and gave us? I'm going to leave that in there, and I'm going to let my child get on here and say what he want to say. The questions, Isan, and this is a 14-year-old being raised by these teachings. The question is, why do we as black people, why can't we not unify with the way that we think? That's the question. And I want you to go ahead and answer that question.
Why can't we unify with
the way? Why can't we come together with the thought, with the mind we have? I want you to answer that question for the brother. Do you agree?
Assalamu alaikum, brothers.
Yes.
Well, that question, it's so deep. Let me just say this. We do have the knowledge right in front of our faces. All right? God said that, you know, he doesn't change the condition of the people until the people can change the condition of themselves. The point is, we don't want change. All right? This is what I'm looking at. I'm looking at these black people every day, you know, killing another brother, killing your brother over a street that you don't own, you know, killing your brother, you know, over drugs that's already going to kill you, you know, and then these killing of a woman, but not for righteous reasons, you know. See, Master Prophet Muhammad has did come and gave us this knowledge, but, you know, you don't want to pick it up. You don't want to pick it up. You know? It's just crazy. This is just real crazy. It's. Yes. I need to say that about the members of the Nation of Islam. Of course. I love the nation, but I don't like the selfish lustiness for money. All right, we got to come together as a community. Money, if you can't just say money don't make me nor shake me, but you can't just say it, you got to prove it. All right? Now, we went to Orthodox Muslim, we ate for free. They had a whole buffet for free. Muslims helping each other out. Here is the motto, some awesome, I'll do this for you if you pay me. It isn't about money. Yes, the minister has millions of dollars. But guess what he uses it on? He uses it on us, all right? So, I just really got to say, and in my school ain't none but ignorance. And there's none but ignorance. People put stuff on God every time. You know, they'll fight over a pair of clothes. Then, number one, instead of taking $400 to go buy some land, you know, build up a community for ourselves. We want to spend $400 on a pair of Nike Jordan or Nikes or Jordan shoes. Look, I want to see change. Change. The same thing that every Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., Elijah Muhammad, all of them want to see is change. Change. We got to change. This is ignorant. How can we call ourselves the people of God, but yet we're living in nothing but ignorance? I want to see change as for a young 14 year old. I mean, I'm one of the kind of my generation. Most teenagers out there don't have the knowledge I have. Of course, I got a good way of hiding this, but, you know, whatever. Because their motto is that, you know, if you don't got this name brand stuff, you know, you lame, you like this and that. But this American education is only dumbing us down in the crowd, to tell the truth. This American education is only dumbing us down. See, I'm finna wrap it up. I just want to see change in the black community. I just want to see change. We got so much money. We do. We got so freaking much money, but we don't use it to build up this nation. This nation, we constantly say America is a fallen nation, a fallen nation. Well, look at our nation, too. We're fallen because we're, you know, just can't get loose of that lustiness for money. Money doesn't really matter. It's about sticking together. That's all that really matters.
I'm sorry I vented. I had to vent. This is the day. We got to say enough is enough, and we got to come together. We got to come together. It's sad.
Maybe,
when you out here and you see it, it's sad. And a lot of people not out here, they don't see it because they blind to the fact of what the reality is. And the reality is we got thousands of our people that's out here literally hungry. Thousands. So I'm done for the evening, but beloved Kareem, brother, I'm sorry I took up so much time, but I felt as though that had to get out there.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. You have anything to be sorry for? Thank you for your input. I mean, the reality is the reality. I mean, our subject is the same mind, and we must have the same mind. But, you know, let me, and I have something I'm going to share before I go to the next question. And that is here. It's In Our Savior Has Arrived. It's chapter 19 entitled Black Jesus. It is according to the teachings to me of man's history, by Allah God in the person of Master Muhammad. Yes. The great Mahdi and the Messiah that the world has been expecting to come for the last 2,000 years, has come and is going about his work as has been predicted that he would do. He taught me for 3 years, night and day, on the histories of the two people, black and white. What he taught me verifies the teachings of the Bible and the Holy Quran, if rightly understood, of the two people, black and white. He said that there was no birth record of the black man, and therefore none can say how old the black nation is. As far back as he said, a record has been kept. It dates 76 trillion years. These years, 76 trillion, were divided into periods of 6 trillion years, beyond 66 trillion years, which would make the said figure 76 be 78 instead of 76 trillion. I will not go into the finer details here. I hope to go into the details and an analysis of our Lord's, Master Farad Muhammad's teachings to me in a book entitled Black and White. Now, this is, to me, the most important aspect of this for our discussion here. Allah and the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, taught me that there are not any gods who live forever. Their wisdom and work may live 6,000 or 25,000 years, but the actual individual may have died within 100 or 200 years, or the longest that we have a record of, around 1,000 years. There is no God living who was here in the creation of the universe, but they produce gods from them and their wisdom lives in us. Human beings are created according to the life of the universe, planets. Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, taught me that the original designer and maker of the universe created it on time, and there is an end to it. Scientists have learned by study that everything that we see, that we call universe, is not everlasting. It is gradually decaying. The Bible and the Holy Quran both verify this decay of the universe, and that one day a wiser God than them all will exist in a new universe. A new universe means that it will not be exactly like this one that we know. According to the hints of the Holy Quran, it will be a better one than we have. Naturally, after experimenting with a thing that has been made, we can improve on a new make of it. Now, that being the case, again, I want to share from Philippians in chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That being the case, and since we know that, quote-unquote, Christ Jesus or Jesus the Christ today, he who was here 2,000 years ago was an archetype of, came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever, who raised up the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, who is indeed the exalted Christ. And now we have in our midst a living example, a reminder, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, understanding that the word Christ means one who is anointed to crush the wicked, to resurrect the dead. This is my question, and I'm coming to you first, Brother Abdul. Coming to you first. What kind of mind does Christ have?
Good question.
Yes, sir. Uh-oh. All right. Brother Abdul's call dropped. Let me get him back on the line immediately. Brother, man, get ready to drop a bomb. Okay, Queen Aziza, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. I'm trying to...
Maybe he needs to charge his battery.
Yes, am I still on the line, brother? I'm like, can you still
yes,
hear me?
Sir. Well, like, yes, sir.
Excuse me. My phone just went dead for a moment. And, I apologize deeply for that interruption. But my phone dialed on me. I had to get it plugged in for a second.
Yes, sir. All praise to Allah. Well, thank you. We were glad to have you back. I said you must be getting ready to drop a bomb and they cut you off.
Yes, sir.
Yep, there they go. All right, Queen Aziza, if you would, feel that question until we can get our brother back on the line. And then there's another question out here also, a comment.
Oh, okay. What kind of mind does Christ have? Well, Christ has the mind of obedience to the Supreme God, if you would. He has a righteous mind. He has a focused mind, one that allows him to not conform to the temptation and the destruction of this world. And when you make up your mind to be obedient, you know, when we talk about Jesus of 2,000 years ago, you have to look at what is recorded as the torture of the crucifixion of Jesus, where basically he was crucified because he would not denounce God, because he remained obedient at all costs. And so when you have that kind of conviction of spirit, it aligns you with Almighty God. And in order to do that, to walk in the midst of this world, which is based on evil or everything contrary to Allah, and to still be able to stand on your square and say that in spite of what you do to me, in spite of any conditions that you put up on me, I'm still going to stand obedient to God, that is a hell of a task. And it's one that we all have been charged with, but a lot of us don't make it. That's why we have to strive every day. The minister says, stop trying, because eventually you'll get tired of trying. But you have to strive for that excellence, strive for that, to have that spirit and that determination each day. So the mind of Christ is a mind of obedience, a mind of order. And that is what we should all be striving to have. And that's the best I can do on that one, Brother Kareem. I wasn't quite ready for that one, but.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All praise.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, I'm
sir.
Going
I,
to. Go ahead.
I think, hold on. Go ahead.
Okay, no, we do have someone that does have their hand up. Okay, I think I've got brother back on the line. Let me see. Okay.
8-1-7-5
Okay. That was the voicemail. All right, we do have someone that does have a hand up, so I'm going to take that question or comment. Area code 312, your mic is live. Area code 312?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, your mic is live. You have a question
for me? Yeah, the topic interested me, but I was waiting for a while. I kind of forgot the topic. Something about aligning your thinking with Jesus or God. What's the topic?
Yes, sir.
The topic is aligning your thinking with God, with Jesus. What's the topic?
Yes, sir. That's the topic.
Okay, so my response would be to align our thinking with Jesus. The only focal point I can manifest at this time is Matthew 24, verse 27-31, where he's talking about the Son of Man is coming from the east to the west. And people are thinking Jesus is coming, but Jesus not himself is not coming. In fact, the Son of Man is coming. And the Son of Man has arrived, and he left orders. I don't know, a dictator, what you might call it, or he decreed some things. And so we should be focused on that decree. And I'm under the understanding that he decreed for us to go back home to our Father. But since we don't know who our fathers are, we had to go to the United Nations to get reparations in order to build our own nation. So I just want to say that. Keep the passport and get ready to move, get ready to relocate. All the signs are here. They're closing down the government for who knows how long a day. But in any regard, these are signs. And we need to build out our business. Our number one priority is to pack our stuff and get up out of here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I'm going. Good night.
And thank you for your call, brother. Can we get your name?
Dennis.
Okay, thank you, brother Dennis.
All right. Bye.
Yes, thank you very much, brother Dennis. And You can get them having some technical difficulties of my own over here. However, I'm working with them. And I will be getting Brother Abdul on the phone again very shortly. However, at this point, I would like to say this in addressing, you know, some of the comments that have been made. In right in line with what you said, that is the thing, that the Christ, the mind of Christ, which we are all coming under, we have to understand that Christ is a title. It's a position. And so that we are called in the scripture, as it says, the body of Christ. Now, that being the case, we have to understand that that scripture, as it's called, or that script, known as Bible, and also known as Quran, when it gives us the story of Jesus, when it gives us the story of the Messiah or the Christ, that much of that information may refer to one, two, or three individuals, but some of that information also refers to us all, and that the same trials, the same headaches, if you will, the same crucifixion that it describes, quote-unquote, for Jesus or Jesus the Christ in the Bible, these are things that we are going to go through. I mean, there is no, should I say, resurrection, if you will, without death. There's going to be death. Now, how that comes to us and how we handle it is entirely up to us. You know, and like I said, if you all would just bear with me momentarily, because I'll just let you know what has happened. They actually knocked me completely off the computer. Screen went completely dead. So I'm, even though I'm yet on the phone with you, yet I'm yet on the broadcast with you, I'm having to attempt to log back into the Blog Talk. It's just, you know, they sit there and they shut down the government. Yeah, they want to shut down the government, the real government. It's who they want to shut down. Okay, we're coming up.
Let me check Brother Abdul and tell him to call in.
No, I got him.
Okay.
I got him. Okay, I'm bringing him up now. It's just, ooh-wee. I don't want to come, but I do. And it dropped him again. Boy. This is so good. These folks, all right, you know, they want to play, huh? Okay.
Well, go ahead and try to call him back, because I might have interfered. I was on for a second, but of course, you know, it don't stay on long, so
you know,
I might have knocked you out.
Yeah. I'm back right now.
Okay.
Assalamualaikum.
Yes, sir.
I've never had this before.
Well, the government is on shutdown, so the first thing they're going to shut down is the Nation of Islam. They're trying to anyway.
Yes, so. I know. Is the show still on or off?
Yes,
sir.
No, we're on.
We don't stop, bro.
I wanted to speak to that sister that was on and her son.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
sir,
what I was going to get ready to speak to. I'm going to yield to you, Brother Abdul.
Yeah, they still on, brother. Go
to the young lady and son that was on the phone. One, we're in strict accord with what you were saying and how you laid it out, because the Nation of Islam was built on that, the Do For Self program. October 19th and 20th, Mr. Farrakhan was speaking at Tuskegee University in Alabama on that specific topic that you just brought up. So it's the solution to that problem. Because we've heard everybody talk about that problem for years, the black man not doing nothing. We don't have no unity. We don't have anything. Well, Mr. Farrakhan is going to lay down a program for us out there. And not only are we going to take care of the families in the United States, but black people in general, because we're going to purchase our own farmland. We have a program in motion that we're going to purchase. If you ever look in the Final Call newspaper, you'll see the three-year economic program. Mr. Farrakhan is going to tell us what exactly that money is going to be used for and what's going to be done. It's going to be done to buy land. With land, we're going to employ our people. Because our people just look at land and looking at empty spaces, but Mr. Farrakhan sees it as a form of taking our own people, creating our own monetary fund income by creating grocery stores. What does that do? Then you employ your own people. When you employ your own people, then you put those men that aren't doing nothing, then you see if they're really men or they're just in a situation that they can't control. So we believe that if we furnish them jobs, they're going to work. We believe that if we furnish them income, they're going to take care of the women and children that they made. I think no real man, I said a real man never wants to see a woman have to get out there and work. No. I think this generation is a generation of change. I think Minister Farrakhan is going to lay down a plan for us as we pool our resources. As a people, we make over $1 trillion a year. The people that go to McDonald's, the people that go to Burger King, the people that drink alcohol and smoke all the reefer and get all the dope in the world, if they put their money away for a good cause, and they don't have to put all their money away. There's over 50 million black people in America. If they put $1 a week away, that would be $50 million in a week. It'd be $100 million in 2 weeks. It'd be $200 million in a month. If you multiply that by 12 months, you have approximately $2 billion. And America is for sale. Everybody's buying America, but we the black people that are living in America. Because as I said earlier on the show, the NAACP was designed to make sure that black people were all-time consumer. We were supposed to be the consumers for everybody. They have a saying out that they said that America streets are paved with gold. Yeah, black gold, because we put everybody's children through college but our own. But on October 19th, we're going to have the opportunity to do it for ourselves. We'll be able to put our own money in our own banks, guarded by our own people. If you listen to The Time of What Must Be Done that comes on every Saturday at 7 o'clock on NOI.org, Mr. Farrakhan lays out the plans of how we're going to take our people further. All people are invited. It's not just for Muslims or people that follow the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or the people that even need. It's for all black people in general. Because if you look at countries, everybody is in the country. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, don't ask what needs to be done, just get up and do so. Because he understood that no matter what an individual does, that individual is going to help us in our country. I don't mean the United States of America. I mean the land that the Honorable Minister Farrakhan is going to get for us to annex from this country. So I hope, sister, that you come to the Day of Atonement so that you can see what is being put in progress and participate and assist us in doing this. And as far as us never getting together, that doesn't even cross my mind because Allah is in charge of this and he is one. And as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. He was one in the beginning, and he's going to be one in the end. So if you stick around with the Nation of Islam, sister, you're in a good stand. I saw and I heard your son speak, and I understand his pain. Because, see, I didn't have a father. I was my father. I had another father that aided me, and that was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So if you come to the Day of Atonement, all that will be addressed that you spoke for. I'm like,
well,
yes, sir. And of course, Brother Kareem, if you will allow me a moment, do you mind?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I know what a lot of people may have heard from Sister Diatoma, but I don't think a lot of people can speak to her pain. This sister in particularly has been hurting for a very long time. And I can just tell you that I thank Allah for my journey in the Nation of Islam, because it has really, really taught me how to deal with adversity. It has really taught me how to cope with those moments when it looks like everything that you believe in is crumbling right before you. Because I'm fortunate enough to have been raised and born in the Nation of Islam. I'm fortunate enough to have seen the Nation of Islam fall and the Nation of Islam rise. And when everything that you ever knew appears to crumble before you, the only thing that you have left is your faith. So even though, sister, you see the suffering, we all see the suffering. We as a people have been suffering for a very long time. But when you ask, when are we going to do this, thus, and so, then you have to look at, is it the desire of the people? Is it the desire of the people who take the energy to stand in line, to beg for a handout, as you said, that same energy they could take to seek others who are trying to do something for themselves and come together? We like to drown ourselves in our own suffering because we have not been taught to even unify in brother and sisterhood. We have not even been taught the decent humanity. It's like, sister, you know, if you're crying, if you're hurting, if you need somebody to talk to, I'm here. No, everybody got their own damn problems. Everybody living in their own world, and ain't nobody got time for nobody. But I'll remind you of this. When the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan started this weekly series, he said in this first lecture, exhort one another to patience and exhort one another to truth.
That's right.
And what does that mean?
Good teacher.
What does it mean? It doesn't mean that the brothers and sisters who have been in the Nation for 10, 20, 30, 40 years know it all. That's not what that means.
But come on.
Someone is striving for the knowledge of Allah, we don't have the patent nor the right to be impatient with them.
No.
Because in our slumber of our own minds, Allah has been patient with us, has been tolerant with us. When we were out there doing our mess, when we were out there messing up, when we forgot how to pray, when we forgot what the hell we supposed to been eating, Allah was patient with us. And it's hard to be patient when your stomach is growling. It's hard to be patient when people around you are suffering and people are dying. But that's your trial. Your trial is patience. And so you have to be progressive in the areas in which you desire to thrive, but you have to be patient with the people that you see every day are lost. They are lost. You can't get mad because they are not found. Most of them don't want to be found. You say the people are hungry. You say the women are suffering because the men won't help them take care of their babies. And that's been a long, long historical fact. But we as a people can survive. We as a people can rise above our condition because slavery taught us that. That we are more than capable, more than qualified. But do we have the desire? We stand in those government lines because we feel we are entitled. We feel like somebody owes us something. But we have a debt that we got to pay to ourselves.
Come on.
The
minister stop now.
Is asking for reparations. He didn't say give us reparations and take care of us. No, give us enough to give us a fast start so we can get the hell away from you and do our own thing.
That's right.
But we as a people got to have the desire in the heart. I've seen brothers and sisters who were strung out on crack, who hit they bottom more times than I care to even count. But when their souls got tired, they left it alone. And I'm going to tell you something. I've never been on crack cocaine. I can't tell you what that's like. But I watched my husband, my ex-husband, battle that drug. And I'm going to tell you something. If you can get off a crack for more than a day and walk away just for more than a day, because how they make it is so addictive, sister, you can survive anything. So that same desire to be free, that same desire to be clean, has to be within the hearts of men. And yes, we see them. Yes, we cry for them. Yes, we cry with them. But sister, this is just like salvation. They have to want it for themselves.
Right.
You can give it to them all you want to, but if you feed a man a fish, you feed him for one day, but if you teach him how to fish, you will teach him for life.
Come on. Come on.
So the people have to be made independent. And if I tell you, you don't believe nothing else I say. Sometimes, oftentimes, Allah will put you in a position, and I'm a walking band witness, that your disobedience is either going to get you to mind, obey, or it's either going to put you in the grave.
In the ground.
And I'm telling you this from my personal experience.
That's right.
Either you going to mind or you going to die. But the grace and the mercy is that you get an opportunity, because a lot of people don't get an opportunity. Trayvon Martin didn't get an opportunity. Emmett Till didn't get an opportunity. So when Allah gives you an opportunity and say you need to hear and obey, or you need to get away from here because the direction you're going is putting you in the grave, you have a choice.
Come on.
Every day we get up in the morning, we are blessed with the fact that we have a choice. So when you ask, when are we going to unify? The answer to that question today, tomorrow, and forever is whenever it becomes the true desire of our hearts. No time before and no time after. Because if you don't want it, if you don't strive for it, then it will never happen. So when people are put in a position, when their backs are against the wall, and we in America as black people, we have backs have been against the wall for a long time. So now the government is so-called shutting down. And now there are no more benefits, and there's no more food stamps. And when all of it's gone, sister, maybe this is what it's going to take. But Allah is sufficient, but you have to be patient. Don't lose your faith or your understanding of Allah due to impatience. Just always remember that someone at some time had to be patient with you. And so, of course, in sisterhood, you have to return the favor. God is merciful. Why is God merciful? Why is he passionate as well as compassionate? Because that's what we have to be. I'm gonna be quiet now because I could go on and on. But I know my sister has been hurting for a very long time. But just based on my background, I know it's just a little impatience. But sister, hang in now. Allah is God. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And thank you very, very much, Phil Abdul. Thank you, Queen Aziza. I want to share this. We're going to move on as we are moving to be in the same mind. And this you will find in the book of Ezekiel, is chapter 12. Notice it reads, "The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove thy day in their sight. And thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house." All praises due to Allah. Brother Abdul.
Excuse me.
Brother Abdul. You still with us? I see him on the board.
Brother Abdul? I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And like I said, I want to thank you for what you shared with our sister. The other thing is I wanted to get back on track with our subject, though, which is we have been on track with the subject all along, actually. The question was, what kind of mind does Christ have?
Thank you. Is that question to me?
Yes, sir, to you.
Oh, well, Christ's mind is broke up in many parts. He has a mind of love. He has a mind of unity. He has a mind of total success. He has the mind of pure, humble ability to give himself in no way no other man can. There's no mind that is of any value of good that Christ doesn't contain, because all good comes from Christ. He has a mind of judgment. He has a mind of freedom, justice, and equality. He has the mind to make all things new. He has a mind to build worlds. He is the beginning of the new world through his mind. That's what I believe that the mind of Christ Jesus is like. You there?
Hello? Yes. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. And I would have to agree with you 100%, since there is no such thing as 1,000%, although we use it. I would have to agree with you 100%. That is the mind of Christ.
Yes, sir.
That is the mind of Christ. And so since our subject is the same mind, and like you said, that's the same mind, it says it was. Notice the terminology, that's in the past tense. And we are taught in our lessons that we must always speak in perfect past, present, and future tense. All right, so in the present tense, since it's talking about us having that same mind, now this next question I'm going to direct to you, Queen Aziza, first, then to you, Brother Abdul. But Queen Aziza, how do we get the mind of Christ?
Well,
can you ask that question to me?
Well, first to Queen Aziza, and then to you, brother.
Okay, that's good. Yes, sir. Please, I want to hear her. This is an enjoyable evening here, sister.
Yeah,
thank you, dear brother.
She's laughing. That's enjoyable.
I think the first thing we have to have is knowledge of self.
Come on.
To get the mindset. However, we can't have true knowledge of self until we have true knowledge of whom and where we come from. And when we obtain that knowledge, we also define purpose. And once you define purpose, and you know that there's a divine purpose within you. That is when we come into the mindset of Allah. If we don't realize that we have to make ourselves worthy of the life that we have, that the life in itself is a blessing, a tremendous struggle of sacrifice as the sperm swam upstream to the egg, and that you survived all of that, and to think that you were given life in that opportunity, and that there's no divinity in it. There's no purpose. It's ludicrous. So in order for us to really get the mindset of God, the mindset of Christ, whoever you so believe in, you have to first know the knowledge of self. Then you have to know your purpose. And I'm going to say this, and I hope I don't offend anyone. You can't wait on your pastor, your minister, your rabbi, but they call it the evangelist, to tell you what your purpose is. You have to establish a personal relationship with Allah, God, that created you.
That's right. Talk
about
it.
He created you in a very unique design. It is a slap in the face of Allah for you to try to take on another characteristic, be it negative or positive, and take away the originality and uniqueness that Allah gave to you.
Talk about it.
So you have a divine purpose. One made you, only one can break you. But for you to cheat yourself by trying to attach yourself to the agenda of another and totally neglect what Allah has for you is another reason why we struggle so hard. Because it's easier for us to go to the mosque and to go to church and have somebody else tell us who they think God is, what they think our purpose is. It's much easier to do that than to establish a relationship with the one that created you. So we have a responsibility to establish that personal relationship with Allah. And that is how we come into that mindset, Brother Kareem. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
What I
do? Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm here, sir. I'm here, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to address. Are you listening? Yes, I am, sir. I'd like to address the mind of Christ.
that we've been discussing, you know, for the last few speakers. There's one thing that I've heard during my years as a Muslim here in the United States of America, as it is known or as it has been named by Caucasians, and that is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the solution, the major solution that is we have and responsibility that we have as Muslims is to separate from America and its way. And as a people, we have been under the instruction and the oppression and the guidance of a people that were created to oppose the mind of Christ. The people that were created to develop a civilization that is in opposition to righteousness. And most people know it as America today. And we have to keep in mind that Master Farad Muhammad came to this place called America and gave us a basic a map, a basic instruction on how to look at and how to view who we are in America. He said that we were victims, we're captured, we're held as prey by the rulers, the leaders, the guides in America. And in America has been developed to oppose righteousness. It is the opposite mind of Christ. Now, Christ means the crusher. He comes to crush or destroy or get rid of the negative, the falsehood, the wrong, the no good that has been developed by the Caucasian or developed by the devil. He has put us in this condition and given us the right to choose whether or not we want to stay in this condition. Now, of course, you know, we say we're in the Nation of Islam. We're grateful to be Muslim. And I am one of the first people, and if Allah so wills, there will be others to come that truly, truly, truly am extremely grateful that Allah gave me an opportunity to do some personal, like the sister was saying, work on myself. And it's one thing that I heard that I'm very, very grateful for with the young man, the 14-year-old on this program. He said basically that he's frustrated, that he grew up in the Nation, he sees how the Nation is the solution, but he can't find where he's, you know, his heart is just not in it, because he doesn't see how the Nation is as successful as he gave an example of the Orthodox Muslims that he went to and they fed him food and it was free. One of the things that you may find as a young person, and I found this when I became a Muslim, you know, that I looked around and I saw some people that were talking about solutions to the problem, but they were talking about solutions that weren't necessarily solutions that we as the people chosen by Allah have before us. So my bottom line, I want to really hit this point before, you know, my conversation becomes redundant. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said it in his last address, I believe it was 38 of the time and what must be done. And everyone listening to this program or that does hear my voice at this particular time, if you don't have it, please go get it. It is a book, a two-volume series called How to Eat to Live. And if there's nothing else that I say tonight, I want you to hear me say this. Once you acquire that knowledge and you begin to practice that solution, you begin to find your personal self healing from some of the diseases and the filth and the wickedness and the madness and the sickness and the negativity that has brought you down to nothing, and you begin to become somebody who has something that is a solution to the universal problem. Salam alaikum.
Thank you. Brother Abdul.
Yes, sir.
Got you back. Yes, sir.
Man, my phone's lit.
Yes, sir. I'm calling sir?
I did not hear the question.
Oh, yes, sir. The question is, how do we get the mind of Christ?
That's a good question also. You gain the mind of Christ. Like, when you first opened up, you started reading scriptures to us.
Yes, sir.
And the scriptures that you were reading all were pertinent to the topic that you gave, that we're on at this moment. The best way to get the mind of Christ Jesus is to get it from Christ Jesus himself. And yes, that comes from what Sister was saying earlier, that comes from also knowing and gaining the knowledge of self. Because you can't gain the knowledge of Christ Jesus without gaining the knowledge of yourself. By learning the knowledge of yourself, then that's going to steer you to the knowledge of Christ Jesus, because then you'll find out where you learned the knowledge of yourself from. I take myself for example. I was a young man in the streets. I thought I was really hip to slide. I thought I was intelligent. Until one day I heard a tape of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who gave me the door to walk through to give me the understanding of who I really was. Once I gained understanding who I was duty bound now to follow that man and get into his mindset. At the time, I called him the messenger of Allah when I first got into his mindset. But I also, through learning and watching him move and the things that he was doing, that he was growing right in front of my face. As he grew in front of my face, I slowly expanded with a little bit of knowledge that I obtained that you really could take and put on the end of a pin, and I still couldn't get to touch the garment of the man that taught me. So I say you get into the mind of Christ Jesus by first learning the knowledge of yourself. Then you will learn that Christ Jesus is the one that gave you that knowledge. And once you learn that Jesus that gave you the knowledge of yourself is the mindset that you have to gear yourself into to propel yourself forward and to then bring other people to that mindset. So it's all into the true understanding of the knowledge of self. But once you learn the knowledge of self, you can then get into the mind of Christ Jesus. You won't be able to get into the mind of Christ Jesus without knowing you, because Christ Jesus is the one that gave you the knowledge of you. So that's how I see trying to get into the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Open the door and read Message to the Black Man. That's a doorway to help you gain that. Message to the Black Man.
All praise be to Allah. Yes, I mean, that is the book. Now, before I ask our final question, Queen of Zeta.
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to ask, was there anyone in Google chat or Yahoo chat or Chatty chat or whatever chat?
I can't get on. It keeps kicking me out. Yeah, it keeps kicking me out. I can log on. I can get into the studio for about 5 minutes, and then it kicks me out. So if anybody
like
out there
too.
Can tell me how to fix my computer, I appreciate it.
I don't think that's a problem. I don't think it's your computer at all.
Well, I want to say, because we usually have quite a few people in the various chat rooms, and I'm
yes,
not going to
do,
and
I know that they're listening because they're texting me,
right,
asking me why my window is not open.
We want to apologize to you for not being able to get to you. We also want to thank you for your continued support, and believe us, we say we are working to resolve the problems on a permanent basis. I'm not going to say more than that at this time. Now, before I go on to our last question, which is going to be open, I want to share something.
Okay, brother Kareem, we can balance. able to hear you. What is that noise?
That's not me.
Brother Abdul, are you outside?
No, man. I'm in a car, and the windows are up, so that's not me making noise.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, stop. Yeah, I want to share it. Okay. Well, we get into our last question. Here is this. And it's from our green book. The restrictive law of Islam is our success. Starting, interestingly enough, on page 19, where the Honorable Farrakhan states, he says the restrictive law of Islam is our success. Section 1, an explanation of the 10th original rule of instruction for slavery. The restrictive law of Islam is not at any time. Anyone who fails to do 100% to the law shall be dismissed from you.
Brother Kareem?
Yes, ma'am.
Your phone is going in and out.
My phone is going in. Hey, Flint, can you hear me now? Still going in and out?
Brother Kareem?
Am I still going in and out?
Okay, I can hear you.
In.
Okay, you can hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, I can.
All right.
I can hear you also, but you also have noise in the background.
Okay, now, well, see, that's not me either, so we know what time it is because I got everything shut down. It's completely quiet. All right, that's all right. They can continue on. You're not going to stop nothing. Good state. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to be successful, don't you? I want to be successful in our community life, successful in our national life. Fulfill the aims of protecting our lives and the aims and objectives of the nation of Israel. Well, some of you are successful at what you do, but is that what Master Farad Muhammad came to offer us as his people? So you've got a little money, but are you successful? You've got a nice vehicle, but is that success? The believers must know why we are failing and what to do to become successful. The Quran says you can tell who the believers are, for they are the successful ones. But the question is, how do we measure success? To gain a better understanding, let us parse each word in the sentence, the restrictive law of Islam is success. B refers to a particular person, thing, or group, used to indicate uniqueness. There is in that word, restricting or tending to restrict, limiting. Restrict means that which keeps us within certain limits, confined. Law. The rules of conduct established and enforced by the authority, legislation, or custom of a given country. Okay. Am I still with
you? Yeah, Brother Abdul, that is your phone. So
I'm trying to pick it out. Hold on, can you mute it until we call your name? Ma'am?
Can you put your phone on mute until he calls your name?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I can't get nothing done with it. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
I can't get the mute.
Okay.
Okay. All right. It says, all right. It's law. The rules of conduct established and enforced by the authority, legislation, or custom of a given community, state, or group. Well, wait a minute, Minister. The back page of the Final Call newspaper says we want freedom. We want a full and complete freedom. How can you say keep us within limits and then say we want freedom, a full and complete freedom? I don't understand. Well, I do. Let's say you are in a plumber's union or a police force.
Well, there are certain things that you are allowed to do and not allowed to do. There are certain limits that they have on you because they have rules and laws. Everything that Allah creates has boundaries. It is when you get outside of nature's bounds that you run into difficulty. When you have the restrictive law of Islam, it keeps you in the bounds of that which will give you the success that the Savior wanted us to have. Proceeding as a product from or by, resulting from an operation or process involving, used as a function word to indicate characteristic or distinctive quality or possession. Islam, the nature of Allah God, the nature of submission, the nature in which we are created. It is interesting that this rule of instruction is number 10, which is a number that says the people have gone to zero. One is behind them, that they have become nothing. And in order for them to go to the next level, they have to bring one back and replace the zero with a one. The one represents Allah. When you become nothing again, you are divorced from your, listen to this. When you become nothing again, you are divorced from your relationship with Allah and His Christ. When we get outside the limits of the restrictive law of Islam, we move into death, and we come away from the upward movement for the success that Master Farid Muhammad came to give us through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He is third person singular present indicative of the word be to exist, live, to happen, or occur, to remain or continue, to have a place or position. Our, or belonging to, made by, or done by us, the possessive form of we, used as a modifier before a noun, success, a favorable or satisfactory outcome or result, something having such an outcome, the gaining of wealth, fame, rank, etc., a successful person. The restrictive law of Islam is what ensures our success. If the Savior said luxury, money, good homes, friendship in all walks of life, and then He came to raise us to intimacy, where people would literally bow their heads to a Muslim who is really practicing and studying and sharing their knowledge, then your fame increases by degree and you grow in rank. And if you stay within the limits of the law, you will have a favorable and satisfactory outcome. What is the final outcome? To become God. Success comes from obedience to Almighty God Allah. We must literally fix our minds, as the Quran teaches us, check your face for religion being upright, the nature made by Allah in which He has created man. And surely Allah speaks the truth. And thank you for being patient with me while I share that. This is our final question. Brother Abdul, if you would join us again, please.
Brother Abdul, can you come off of mute? I think he's back. Is he?
Oh, yes, I am. I just got back.
Sir, I want to thank you for being patient with me while I shared that. And this is our final question.
Yes, sir.
And before I ask the question, I want to say this. So, would you agree, this short question, would everyone that's here with us agree that Christ is a civilized person, right?
Yes, sir. Totally agree.
And, okay. Would you agree with that, Queen Aziza?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right. And I agree, too. And so the final question is, first to you, Brother Abdul, what is the duty of the civilized person?
The duty of the civilized person is to teach the uncivilized, because as we know that Master Far Muhammad came, he came for a specific purpose to get his people. He didn't just come to get the ones that he chose, handpicked, because those people handpicked are to get the entire body of black men. I believe that
our job in the Nation of Islam, due to the fact that we were the first to be awakened after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, duty is to get the rest of our people. Because it's difficult for a man that does not have the knowledge of himself, a woman does not have the knowledge of himself, which you can really consider as being dead, no longer functioning, no function like death, to get up and move by itself. It has to be moved.
Mm-hmm. Look at this. Well, yeah, we're going to have to do something real soon.
I think he's traveling.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'm working to bring him back in right now. Okay, it's okay. We get nothing, no response here, because I've got a dial and it's not picking up. Oh.
Oh, you have to refresh it.
Okay, it says call completed. Let's see what we got.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Are we there now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're back on.
I know. This is just almost 2 months. Really bad. This phone is really like, I've never had this problem before with my phone. But anyway, could you please repeat the question one more time? I apologize for my.
So
yes.
It's not a problem. It's what is the duty of the civilized person?
Okay. To teach the uncivilized. That's where we were at when I left. And I don't know if you heard me or not, but I had said that Master Fort Muhammad had come to give us the knowledge of self, that we may then take that knowledge that we have of ourselves and share it with our brothers and sisters. I told him that the part that really stuck with me when I came into the FOI, but that they told me that the FOI is constantly training and conditioning itself to meet all obstacles in its path. Then he said that the sole purpose of the FOI is to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, which is now approximately 50 million. When he told me that that was my sole purpose, I started looking up the words soul and purpose. I came up with, it's the only reason of our existence. The only reason that Master Fort Muhammad came and got us was for us to go out to teach our own people the knowledge of themselves. Without us doing that task, we're almost lost. Because, I mean, if we expect the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to get 4 billion, 400 million people, we're putting a tremendous burden on this man. This man has opened the door for us to do many, many, many things. And I think it is our job, as the sister said, to be men and to be women also, to get up and go get our people. Because the reason our men treat our women the way they do is because they don't know no better. And once you know better, you'll do better. But how will you do better unless you have someone to come teach you to do better? So I believe that that is our task in the Nation of Islam, to raise our consciousness up to do for self, to raise our people's consciousness up to know the correct function of a man and woman, to rein our conscience up to understand that if we don't come together as a whole, nobody else will. The people are so upset about us not being able to make it, but they forget that Allah doesn't need everybody. He just needs a chosen few. Because if the chosen few do the task that they have, they can turn the whole world around. Doesn't need them all and everybody. But he does need everybody to be on one accord and come together. And they'll never come together unless someone comes and teach them. As a citizen of the Nation of Islam, it's my duty to teach every black man that I see the knowledge of self. Everybody. Because if we don't join our hands, the blame can't be on them. It can only be on us. because a man is responsible for what he knows. If he knows nothing, he can't teach nothing. But if he has some of the glimpse.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'm working to get him back on the line again.
he dropped again.
Yes, ma'am. So that being the
case, because I'm just refreshing, I see him on the board, so I don't know what happened.
Well, I mean, I just started dialing again. So I'm not, and it's taking forever for me to get for it to come up. So it's all completed. All right, here we go.
7 6 8 8 1 7 5
Okay, so if you would, because we're down to our last 4 minutes. So I wanted to get your perspective on what is the duty of a civilized person and then get our lineup for the rest of the week.
Well, of course, the duty, like Brother Abdul said, the duty of a civilized person is to teach the uncivilized. But just to expound a little bit further, a lot of us get a bit of knowledge and assume that we are civilized. However, we have to be able to demonstrate civilization, not just talk civilization. So when you say that you're going to civilize the uncivilized, you have to have a very broad understanding and a very high level of what they call culpability. Because if you don't have the ability to be passionate with people and meet them where they are and address their needs, then you can't teach them to be civilized. If you are a person who obtains a little bit of knowledge and you become arrogant in your knowledge, then you have become uncivilized. You have become one who is ignorant in your arrogance. So it's a very fine line between being knowledgeable and being civilized. And
yes.
That's the point that I wanted to bring home, because a lot of us title ourselves as a civilized human being. Most of the people who are in prison for heinous crimes consider themselves to be civilized human beings. And when we say civilized, we start to think in an animalistic type of way and say, okay, I'm not a savage beast crawling around on all fours. However, I think we have put the animal kingdom down so far to lift ourselves up. Because if you look at the animal kingdom are the only animals that are obedient to God. They take what they need. They kill only to survive or in self-defense, so they are surviving. But they don't do the unnecessary things, and they don't destroy the very foundation that is there to feed them. But we do.
That's right.
But let somebody call us uncivilized, and then you'll see how uncivilized we really are by how we react to insult. And like the young brother just said, Sister Diatoma's son said, we fighting over a block we don't even own. Is that civilized?
Come on.
Is that even intelligent?
No, man.
So we have to be very, very careful about what we consider ourselves. And this is, I think, and I pray I'm not speaking prematurely, but I think this is what Sister Diatomis was speaking to. Excuse me, because we become so arrogant in our knowledge. And what we know are the sciences that we have been taught, or should I say retaught, then it becomes what they call high polluted science. Mm. Because you yield to your own understanding in the process of obtaining knowledge. So you have polluted the sciences to manipulate the masses that know less. That's not civilized. So in order to get into the thinking of God so that you can build a nation that is godly, you have to be civilized. And you have to know what that means. Because in order to be a civilized nation, you have to be able to communicate with the people. You can't communicate with people when you're ignorant in your arrogance. So I pray to Allah that I answered the question, Brother Kareem. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. And before we close out, like I said, if we could get the lineup for the rest of the week, and
Okay, well, join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. We will be having a rebroadcast of Out on the Front Line due to the fact that that is our monthly believers meeting, the first Tuesday of every month. So we will have a broadcast tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central. Join us Wednesday for DJ Black Caesar and Friends at 7 p.m. Central for our hip-hop comedy show. Join us again on Thursday at 8 p.m. Central. And, of course, yours truly, myself, I will be back with the conclusion of Why the Black Woman Refuses to Submit, the Battle of the Sexes. We're bringing the FOI and the MGT face-to-face and dealing with this issue of why they think the black woman refuses to submit. So that's going to be interesting, Brother Kareem. And on Friday, join us with student minister, James Muhammad, with our study group, Put on the New Man, as he welcomes Brother Minister Akbar Muhammad, one of our historic student ministers in the Nation of Islam and one of our historians in the Nation of Islam. And that's Friday night at 8 p.m. Central. On Saturday, we'll be back with Brother Ronnie X, Young, Gifted, and Black, our youth show. They really had a dynamic show last week. So if you missed it, go back into the archives and listen to the young people bring us up to speed on the knowledge they have on genocide here in America. Very good show. And, of course, on Sunday, we'll have economic development with Brother Vernon Muhammad out of Columbia, Maryland. And Monday, Brother Kareem, are we going to get a sneak peek or we got to wait to see what Monday's show is going to be about?
Monday's show, the topic is, am I my brother's keeper?
Oh, and the words of Nino Brown and G-Money, yes, I am.
That's right.
Okay, well, that's our lineup.
All praises due to Allah. Well, again, I want to thank everyone who joined us in the chat room. Again, forgive us for not being able to get to you. Like I said, we're working on correcting that permanently. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank our panelists, Queen Aziza and Brother Abdul Fraz Muhammad. I want to thank everybody who called in, made a comment. And hopefully, as always, we hope and pray that something that we shared with you tonight is something that you can take and apply in your life in a practical manner to help you through your daily life. As always, the thought is the act is the fact.
We either participate or we all dissipate. I want to leave you as I came to you with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, and special shout out to my sister Diatoma. Keep your head up, stand on your square, sister, and just march forward. Just march forward. You a soldier. Y'all can do this. Peace and love. One nation, one love. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam.